Hey guys, it's Jim Costa from Cash the Ticket. If you're betting the NFL playoffs, you need to be listening to Cash the Ticket. We're breaking down every single game, totals and sides, all the way to the big game. Subscribe to Cash the Ticket on the Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
Gets the snap on first down. Henderson running right side, hits his own 35, gets to the 40, down the right sideline to the Oregon 40 goes Henderson, to the 30 of the Ducks, to the 20, to the 10, to the house, Travion Henderson, right around the right side, and his ninth rushing touchdown of the year. That one's 66 yards to the end zone. And how about this Ohio State offense who's jumped in front of Oregon 30-0?
I'd like to know where Lou Holtz is right now.
Oh, I win. Google me.
We're not hosting an intergalactic kegger down here.
Did the Oregon Ducks save the college playoff committee? The committee got lambasted for the opening round, right? All these games decided by double digits. All these games were two-score games at half. All these games were really non-competitive. They were all three-score games in the fourth quarter in the first round. And we all thought, well, they blew it. The committee blew it. They put, you know, SMU didn't deserve to be in. Indiana didn't deserve to be in. You know, all that. You had the other issues, which was the automatic buys of Boise State and Arizona State, screwing things up and making Texas play Clemson and Ohio State play Tennessee when they should have played somebody else. But the fact that Ohio State absolutely take Oregon to the woodshed completely saved the committee. Because what do you want them to do? I mean, Oregon was the number one team in the nation, and they were down 31-0.
What about 6-3? Penn State beat Boise State.
Yeah.
That was an upset.
Well, upset from, yeah, Penn State was favored.
From a seeding standpoint,
yeah. It was an upset. Texas was an upset, technically, from a seeding standpoint.
Look, if you want to get into a seeding argument and debate, I'm totally cool and fine with that. The people I hate are those rush to judgment after 1 week individuals who said, oh, we shouldn't have expanded it to 12. Look, all chalk, all beatdowns, all blowouts. What do you complain about? What else do you want to watch? You want longer Emirates Cup? Is that what you want? You want Simone Biles and Caitlin Clark to be on your TV right now?
I do.
Like everyone, like Time and Sports Illustrated? Stop acting like a freaking know-it-all and give it a little bit. And I'm usually not, can we wait a second, guy? Can we give it a second, guy? But my Lord, so is that all that erased because we got upsets, even though they were, or are we going to cry and get upset because they were blowouts in this round?
Right, yeah. It's, look, I mean, they had an interesting...
You want to say Oregon and Ohio State shouldn't be facing each other? Okay, but like getting it to 12, I love that.
Right.
And again, if we get 3 years of beatdown and blowouts, let's revisit the conversation. I'm not necessarily pining or dying for it to go to 16, but... I like that it's more games that matter.
All right, so here you have a couple of options on how they can fix it if you wanted to do that. First of all, they're probably going to go to 16 teams here in a couple years. They're going to go to 14, I know that, and they're probably going to go to 16. So now you're going to get 1 versus 16. Oh, you think we're... I think I just snorted. I don't know. You did. I think we're going to get even bigger blowouts.
But 1 versus 16.
Well, not if it's 1 versus 16. Mm. If you have a 16-team thing, I mean, that's a simple... Right?
I'm fine. Look, 12 would be fine. I wonder if the... First off... They got to figure out the seeding, the restructure of the seeding. Because, yeah, what Oregon fans are going to say is, what did we earn other than getting to play the most talented team in the country, like, right out of the gate? Where was that? And you might see a slight adjustment that it's like, okay, why do Ohio State and Texas and these other teams that we were better than, why did they get to play their home games on campus? Why did we get a neutral site?
Yeah.
I wonder if what you're going to see is the first round of games is bowl games, and then that second round where they move on and you get the four seeded byes, that those are the teams that get the on-campus home games.
Well, okay, so that's the other thing. What would you say, because we all agree, the home field advantage was really, really an advantage.
Yes.
And it's an advantage from a subjective standpoint, because you could subjectively say that this team deserved a home game over that. You could say that. I mean, I don't know if they agree, but you could say that. And it's a very subjective... So,
I'm fine, by the way, if there were no home games.
I'm fine with that, too. I thought it was great.
Put it all neutral site.
I thought it was great for the sport, right? It was fun to see these. But, I mean, it is showing to be such an advantage. And do teams that are seeded 5 through 8 really deserve it over the 9th and 10th team? That, subjectively, you could say, could have arguably been in the 5 through 8. So, and not necessarily this year, but in your in future years, I would be okay with just giving the home games. You win your conference, you don't get the benefit of a bye. You get the benefit of a home game. So Texas would have had to play at Arizona State.
I was going
to
say, do you think that game is different yesterday if Texas is playing it at Sun Devil Stadium?
Not that game, I don't think.
If they play that same way? If it's everything else the same, it's just it's in Arizona
State. From what I heard.
No, you can't answer that.
You can't
I know, but that's what I'm saying. Like, if we're talking about the margins are that thin, well, it let me might ask you be this. A tipping
Let's go to the first. With the game, with
the margin, it was would Penn all-time State, fourth quarter comeback.
Would Penn State have beat SMU at SMU?
Yes.
Would Indiana have beaten Notre Dame at home?
Probably not.
Would Tennessee have beaten Ohio State at home?
No.
I don't think so.
Who was the other game?
Clemson, Texas.
Would Clemson have beaten Texas at home?
Maybe it's a different game. I don't think
they're all different games.
Yeah, well, I mean,
they're all different.
Clemson's
games.
The one that might have been closest.
Yeah. I agree.
Yeah, and like, yeah, I don't think SMU doesn't have a great home. Tennessee has a great home field advantage. It would have been closer. It would not have. I don't think they would have won. The way Ohio State's playing, they wouldn't have won.
But what was the reseeding thing you posted on your Instagram if they had done it that way?
Okay, so that was if they just went by, it's called the quadrant system, right? Where you just seed teams based on their ranking. You don't
not the conference winner.
Yeah, you don't worry about if you win your conference. All winning your conference does is get you in. It doesn't guarantee you a seed. So you just reseed teams that way. And then they also need to, I think, get rid of brackets. The NCAA is obsessed with brackets. They love the brackets, right? Brackets are fun.
Yeah.
It creates an intrigue.
Yeah.
You can do a bracket pool. But
you're just saying reseed it.
Reseed it. Oregon should have played Arizona State.
Yes.
Texas should have played, Georgia should have played Boise State. Because Georgia was the next highest team.
Yeah, if you go by CFP rankings to have given like structured the buys that way, it would have been Oregon, Georgia, Texas, Penn State as the top seeds.
Great.
And it would have been what? It would have been Oregon playing Arizona State. It would have been Texas playing Boise State. Georgia would have still gotten, I think. No, Georgia would get Ohio State and Notre Dame would have played Penn State.
I mean, Georgia and Ohio State. That's a good now.
I mean, Oregon beats Arizona State, I would guess.
I would think so.
Are we satisfied or unsatisfied with the way this has gone so far?
Overall positive, I think.
It's overall positive. It's more football.
Yeah.
Right? We've gotten a lot
more
of...
more football that matters.
College football never controlled December. Ever. And they have really controlled December.
Yeah.
Starting with the conference championship game. And then
with all these week 16 and 17, not opt-outs, but...
Right, I mean the NFL.
Sit downs in the NFL.
The NFL has had really no drama the last few weeks.
Yeah, the afternoon slate last Sunday was awful.
It was very bad.
It was as bad as the Ohio State Oregon
right.
game.
Right, and so you've had mega college football games like tonight. You're going to have
today
at 3:00. You're going to have Georgia and Notre Dame. It's going to be a tremendous game. I think. I mean, I think it's going to be a low scoring game.
But we're watching.
But we're going to watch.
Yeah,
and they've really controlled. The holiday season. They never control the holiday season. I mean, they had bowl games.
Yeah.
But once the BCS was around, the bowl game has been relatively meaningless.
College football kegger with Ralph James Choppy on the fan.
Did Ashton Jeanty prove he should not have won the Heisman with his performance against Penn State? He got over 100 yards, but it was just 3.4 yards a carry. He got
Draft Scadaboo over Jeanty.
Yeah, there you go. Yeah,
okay.
But they both had 30 carries. They both had 30 carries, and Cam got 4.8. Ashton got 3.4. But this is I think that's a major reason why we've had one person win the Heisman from a non-power league in the last half century, really since Roger, and it was Ty Detmer at BYU. That's it. You don't win. Andre Ware, when he won it at Houston, they were in the Southwest Conference. That's a power league.
He shouldn't have won the Heisman. The bigger question to me is. Are you reevaluating his NFL prospects, Bobby?
Not at all.
Not at all?
Nope. I mean, he destroyed Oregon earlier in the year. He's been dominant against good run defenses all year. You're talking about...
He had almost 8 a carry against Oregon.
That's 397 touches this year. That dude's got to be worn down. And that was after last year he led the NCAA in touches. I mean, like...
To me, in evaluating the running back, I'm looking at your skill set. Like, you could see with Zeke, a lot of people didn't want to hear it. Apparently, a lot of KMC listeners. There's no burst. There's no juice. There's no explosion. He couldn't break one for 50, 60 yards.
Yeah.
Does Jenty have the breakaway speed? Is he elusive? Can he take a pounding? Can he run inside? What type of receiver is he? I'm looking at that more so than the scrubs that people are going to say he faced.
He does. He does.
You have to, it has to be a lot of eye test, in my opinion.
He does everything. And like a bit, like he's a good pass catcher. He can run routes. He's really good in pass protection. He is very elusive, has great vision, is tough, never goes down on first contact. There's everything you want in a running back. Jenty's got. It's
he
just,
does.
The workload is, like I said, Dowdle, Rico Dowdle's entire NFL career. He's been in the NFL for 5 years. He has 40 fewer touches in his NFL career than Jenty had at Boise this year.
That's crazy. Wow. Like, you know, now listen, if he played in the Big Ten or the SEC and he goes and he plays Penn State this week and then he plays Nebraska and then he plays Ohio State, then he gets a bye, then he plays Oregon, and then he plays Michigan. Like, is he different? Is he getting more punished?
Yeah.
Sure.
Yeah.
Absolutely. That doesn't mean that he's not a first round draft.
I mean, 192 yards against Oregon, 226 against Oregon State, 259 against Washington State. He wasn't doing it against like Mercer.
Right.
Like he was putting up numbers against bigger schools.
It was fine.
Shout out Ron Mercer.
Speaking of Boise, did the group of five prove themselves in this game? They lose 31-14, which is about the same as the scores in the first round. Now, granted, this was on a neutral site, not at a home field, but you know, they put up a fight better than SMU did on the scoreboard. I think SMU moved the ball much better than they're given credit for. They just had a lot of turnovers.
I mean, I think it was closer than 31-14. Like,
who are you going to put in, Bama? After they just lost to Michigan?
It would have been Miami, Bama, Ole Miss. I don't care that. Bama, we know these bowl games.
Cam Ward wasn't going to be able to play the rest of the game if they got in the CFP. Boise State acquitted themselves fine.
Yeah.
I mean, they were tough. They got beat by a better team, and credit to James Franklin and you know, stepping up and having a good run these last two.
What do you think?
I think they acquitted themselves fine. I worry about next year and the year after and the year after, when you don't have a first round draft pick as the top player, like an Ashton Jenty or whatever.
Yeah.
Where
the intrigue of that.
Well, not just the intrigue, but the ability to even maintain a competitive team or competitive game.
Jenty, by most of the analyst lists that were out there, Jenty was the best player in the CFP. And so, I mean, they did have the top player. And as soon as Penn State locked in
over the Ohio State receiver.
Mm-hmm, yeah. They had him number one. And so
it's tough. I mean, it's really tough. Now, one thing I would like to see, and they'll never do it, but because these games have been blowouts, I wonder if they're going to stagger these games next year. They'll never do it. But the reason the college hoops thing is so fun is that you got a game at noon and then one and then two and then three. So or 12:30.
Oh, no.
You know, they'll never do it. But like, it protects you from a blowout. Right. You can always flip to the other game.
No. Absolutely not. Hell, and I wouldn't want that.
I wouldn't want it if you get four great games all at once. But when you have, like in this year, they were all four blowouts in the first round.
Just go away, do something for an hour, hour and a half, and come back for the next one.
You're up for the next one?
Yeah, well, you don't have 140 games, right, to get through. Like,
right, you got 65 games to play. And
look, you texted it while you were out. Football is just lapping everyone more and more.
It is.
The ratings have been saying it for years. I've been feeling it for years.
Good Christmas Day ratings for the NBA. They deserve it. They had great numbers.
Did they?
They were up 84% year to year.
All right.
And they have 5 million.
But baseball and basketball's collective issues have helped make the sport of football that much better. Just give me more of it.
Mm-hmm.
Right now, I'm give me more. And give me less of the others.
Yep, absolutely.
Until you sit there and you minimize the games for the importance level and change some of the stylistic things baseball has, basketball has to work on it now. Give me more and more football, man.
Yeah. More of it.
It's not. I'm not saying the quality of it is fantastic or great, but it's still that much better from a meaningful standpoint to me than what the others are giving.
You can't. Football has made it so you can't miss a game. The games are of such importance that you can't afford to miss watching the game.
Even when they're not important. Everybody was watching Detroit and San Francisco the other night and stayed glued for 4 hours in a game that meant absolutely nothing.
Look at the Cowboys-Giants Thanksgiving game. It had almost 40 million people watch. The game meant nothing.
College football kegger with RJ Choppy. The Sugar Bowl, postponed because of the tragedy in New Orleans, will take place at 3 o'clock today. We'll recap it tomorrow. And we will also recap the life of Chop Sr. We found some old Sunday dinner audio. And the end of 2024, Bobby Belt has the best of. That's all next on The Fan. Crosstalk with a KMC Masterpiece coming up at 9:40 today. I'm Sean Sharif. The entire squad is back together again. Sean Sharif, RJ Choppy, Cowboys insider Bobby Belt. We got Peyton and Carter in the back. We're live on the Fan Cam, Twitch, and YouTube. And more evidence that Jerry and Steven, they did their job this year. It's just that the coaches and the players did not.
We have Pro Bowlers. Pro Bowlers have been announced. And
by the way, you want the power of a certain group? Do you know who led the entire league in Pro Bowl votes?
Simone Biles.
Let's see. Who led the entire? It has to be Josh Allen.
Nope. Player is in the AFC.
Patrick Mahomes.
You got the team. Do you know Bob?
Chris Jones.
Chris Jones?
No.
Travis Kelce.
Travis. Oh, good job. Travis Kelce led the NFL and Pro Bowl voting because of the Swifties. The year Travis Kelce had, the power of them propelled him. The power of them propelled him.
Odd it didn't work on in November.
Number one. Number one.
Wow.
In Pro Bowl votes. So I wanted to throw that in. That's Cowboys.
That's 14.
The Cowboys, only four teams in the NFL got more Pro Bowlers selected than the Dallas Cowboys. The Baltimore Ravens with 9. The Lions with 7. The Vikings and Eagles with 6.
Okay, so how many did the Cowboys have? 5?
The Lions got the best roster.
5
in the sport.
Pro Bowlers, which is equal to the 15 and 1 Kansas City Chiefs, who also got 5 players selected to the Pro Bowl.
Is this all fan voting?
These are Pro Bowlers selected. So I don't know if it's completely fan voting or if it's largely. I gave up on the Pro Bowl so long ago, but it's at least largely fan voting.
All right, child, let's see if we can knock this out. We know Micah and Lamb.
Micah Lamb.
I'm struggling with this.
Zach Martin.
Nope. You guys are just not thinking of two really obvious ones.
Diggs.
No.
He's not obvious. Rico?
No. Think about who we've talked about
Dak
as beast.
Just be quiet. Not Dak. Not.
Overshown?
Overshown?
No.
Not Osa.
No.
Tyler Smith.
Yes, that's one.
Good job.
There's two more, which I thought would have been your first two guesses, these two.
I said Lamb and Micah.
I know. Not them.
Not Bland.
Ferg?
Nope. Who have people said all year, that's our best player?
Oh, Aubrey.
Brandon Aubrey. There you go.
Oh, and Turpin.
Kevontae Turpin. They have all been named. Now, there's some fallout from this. Tyler Smith. Joel Corey from CBS Sports, salary cap expert, says Tyler Smith's fifth-year option for 2026 will be the 2025 offensive line transition tag because of this Pro Bowl selection. So that projects to 7.6% of the 2025 salary cap. And with the current cap projections, that means Tyler Smith's fifth-year option will be about $21 million a year is how much it'll cost even before he gets his extension. And Deron Bland made the Pro Bowl last year. And so because of that, now that his first 3 years have finished, his season next year, his fourth year, his salary goes from $1.1 million to $5.2 million. So Deron Bland just got a $4.1 million raise on next year's salary cap. So money.
What were you saying about the way that I always say, you know, we always say the Longhorns are the Cowboys are the Longhorns. How are you comparing the way that they judge the fans?
Like yesterday, you saw a lot of Quinn hate. All right. Longhorn fans blame.
How shocked were you, though, that Quinn did respond to that pick? Were you stunned or you thought the full complete meltdown was coming?
No, I thought the meltdown was coming.
I thought it was over. Yeah.
Yeah. I just found it ironic that Longhorn football fans blame the players while Cowboy fans blame the coaches. And they largely are the same. There's a lot of the Venn diagram of Cowboy to Longhorn fans, probably pretty big, right?
Yeah.
It just seems like it's always on the players at Tech. They always blame the players. They never blame the coach. And with the Cowboys, it's always the coach, it's never the player.
I saw a lot of Sark blame coming from this room.
Yeah, Sark was definitely part of that yesterday. Everybody was, when the pick was thrown, everybody's like, why are you not running the ball? What are you doing? Like, why are you trying to push the ball downfield right here? You're up. Like, let's play things a little bit conservatively here. No, I think the reason why so much of it comes back to the coaches is because so consistently they've got so much talent. The other years they don't, sure. And other years that you've said, oh, wow, that's a great coaching job here or there. But when you win 12 games 3 years in a row and most of the talent core is still here, and then you have the game, you played the way you did, then it's hard to go, well, did the players just forget how to play? And so I think that's why people tend to go, something's wrong with the coaches.
This reminded me a lot of 2010 from the standpoint of, A, the quarterback got hurt, but B, before that, and if you remember that 2010 team, that was like the end of a run with the offensive line, right? And this was kind of the end of the run with the offensive line, where obviously, Tyron is gone. Zach is getting old, right? This was kind of like the end of the run, and so was 2010. And, I mean, look, you can have all the skill positions you want. At the end of the day, football, the most important unit on a football team is the offensive line.
What do you
outside of the quarterback?
Random head, Doug Peterson. If I throw Doug Peterson on as the head coach of the Cowboys the last 3 years, do you think they're appreciably worse than 12-5? I don't think so. I think they're probably about the same football team.
12-5 3 years in a row is really hard to do.
Yeah,
but I think Peterson would have won
because
12,
generally teams can't collect that much talent for 3 years together. So what I'm saying is that do you think they're 9-7 one of those years? Do you think Mike made like 3 wins difference for them at different points? Because I can't point to 3 games, I don't think, over the course of those 3 years where I said that was Mike.
I'd like to give Mike the credit for the backup quarterback wins over Doug, but Doug won a Super Bowl with a backup quarterback.
Oh, yeah. He did. With about as many injuries as Dallas has faced this whole season.
All right, we need to get to this. In case you missed it in the neighborhood watch, Choppy broke the news to us on New Year's Eve that his pops passed away. Chop Sr., anything else that we missed in that conversation earlier? Getting a lot of...
I think we got... No, man. Thank you to everybody in the fan text for reaching out on Twitter, all the things. He passed away on New Year's Eve after a long battle with dementia, and it was time. It was way...
Now, are you okay time. If we play this audio?
Oh, yeah.
You've held it together.
Yeah, I'm good.
I don't know. I don't want to have any emotional breakdown.
I might get emotional, but if I do, then it's just good for radio.
All right, if you are... If you're an old school Tolo, we did this every single week. Sunday dinner, all the stereotypes as Chop Senior around the dinner table, just catching up with them. And Pepe has found some of the audio.
Yeah, we got some Sunday dinner audio here from Choppy Senior. And this is him setting up a joke, and it didn't quite go as planned.
It's the California Workers' Safety Law. It involves actors in the porn industry.
Porn.
Okay. They're required now to wear a condom to prevent contact with employees. And the other part of this deal is that they also have to wear protection against any kind of activity that might actually get into someone's eyes, skin, mucous membranes, and things of that nature. Okay? They want them to wear goggles. Can you picture that? In porn. They want them to wear goggles. Needless to say, the law is being met with stiff opposition.
We might as well be on that one. Would you care to try that again?
The law is being met with stiff opposition.
I did not remember the pronunciation of his individual words being that funny.
Protection.
When RJ does use, that's nothing compared to this. That was incredible. I totally forgot that clip.
I forgot that one, too.
It sounds like he's going to rob Macaulay Culkin's house.
Like, because a lot of these clips were before the world kind of changed. So I don't know how many of these
I was worried right there.
I'm a little worried here that Big Ralph's going to get canceled. He got already canceled him. Now I'm worried even more.
Come on.
Now, RJ, I don't know if you're if your son Lucas to blame for this next clip, but your dad was looking in the toilet and found a little surprise there.
I even found a small turd floating around in the toilet.
You did not, that was Luca. You did not find a small turd in the toilet.
I didn't get angry. I chalked it up to a survivor who survived an errant flush.
It probably wasn't me. I haven't gone in that bathroom because you guys, all you guys cook with is cheese.
Cheese?
Yes. I mean, I haven't gone in 5 days.
Well, none of us have problems.
Everything you have is cheese, lasagna, Parmesan. It's like, Jesus Christ, can we get a broccoli?
Broccoli and cheese. It's very good.
No, not broccoli and cheese. I mean, I'm all backed up. I can't even bend over to tie my shoes.
Well, maybe you need an enema.
How good is that?
Oh, man.
Maybe you need an enema. All right, what's the last one?
Last one here. We have Choppy Senior. Apparently, he found facial hair everywhere.
There's facial hair all over the place.
I shaved.
And look, wait, you know, stop. I've forgotten that this is back when you were living with them. Were you with them? Or did you just go randomly go over there to shave?
It depends. I think, you know, when I went through the divorce, I think I stayed there for a couple of weeks.
Yeah.
Just trying to get things figured out.
Okay. And he was not pleased.
There's facial hair all over the place.
I shaved.
And look, you know, when I first came in, I went, oh my God, we got ants.
I shave.
Well, blow the thing in the toilet.
Blow. I don't shave over the toilet.
Well, you got to.
That's on the sink.
You got an electric razor.
Yeah.
All right. You take the head of the electric razor off. You blow the stuff out into the sink. I mean, and then wash it down.
How good is that? You got to go back into the system for more.
Every he had one about Marie Andolini. We got to find that one.
Every Father's Day, we're going to have to go ahead and crank them out. Chop Senior. Absolutely fantastic. 877-881-1053 if you want to send your well wishes to Chop, of course, at RJ Choppy on Twitter, and you can find him right there on Instagram as well.
Man, from the 972, his dad's subscription to Life wasn't renewed. Oh,
come on, guys.
Oh, man.
Come on. No. Stop it.
Man.
RIP Chop Senior, fantastic. I still remember, like, we were driving. I think we were going to the casino or something, and we were on speakerphone. It was like it was Y2K the day before something.
Oh, it was the rapture. The rapture was supposed to happen.
It?
Yeah, the rapture was supposed to happen, and he called up and he went on one of his rants about something.
And what was his diehard, like, sports order?
In terms of, like, teams?
Yeah, what sports, what teams?
Oh,
what was he glued to? What would he go off on?
He was he was a big Yankee fan, and, like, I mean, he would call me up every day and vent about something. He wanted to fire the manager every day. He was that was the type of, he was like the Philly guys, Angelo Cataldi. Yeah. Wanted to fire everybody every single day. And then he loved Tennessee and Oklahoma football because my sister went to Oklahoma. So he would, like, live and die with that. That was the thing. You know, I really, the day after, you know, we got beat by Ohio State a couple of weeks ago, I really wanted to call him up. Like, I really wanted to call, like, and just talk about it. I needed that, but I don't have that. So.
Crosstalk with the KMC Masterpiece is next. Hurtado Barbecue, the official barbecue of the morning show. Man, the Big Mike Burger has me craving that for lunch today. Of course, you know they have the amazing staples on the barbecue menu. They have the handhelds and more, though. The best bite of barbecue. I still think it's the one seed. No one has challenged me on it that's had it recently at the Mansfield, Fort Worth, or Arlington locations is the Texas Twinkies. A bacon-wrapped jumbo jalapeno stuffed with brisket, cream cheese, and pimento. Don't ever sleep on pimento cheese. What this Big Mike Burger, I had this at Fan Bowl. 2 quarter-pound smash patties. Everyone loves smash patties. American cheese, shredded lettuce, pickles, onions, truffle aioli on a brioche bun. My father-in-law's favorite, the birria tacos. Slow-cooked brisket, quesadilla cheese, salsa verde inside of the fried corn tortilla served with the perfect beef broth consomme. My wife's favorite, the baked potato. 3rd pound of prime brisket stuffed into that potato with butter, shredded cheese, sour cream, and chives. And then the mother-in-law going with the brisket tostada. Smoked brisket, refried beans on a fried tostada shell. I have no idea how they keep all of that on there. And don't forget the handmade pies for dessert. Stop by today for breakfast, lunch, or dinner, and tell them Sean from the Fan sent you to Hurtado and HurtadoBBQ.com. Location coming soon to downtown Dallas.
Ready to take the snap. Has the snap. 4th and 13. Ewers looking. Fires. He's got Golden open. He caught it. Touchdown, Texas. Matthew Golden strikes again. 28 yards on 4th down and 13. And the Longhorns score a touchdown.
Longhorns radio with the call. Crosstalk with a KMC Masterpiece featuring Alec Medford and Blake Elliott on DFW Sports Station. Couldn't even get Bassick for like the final day of the week.
Yeah, he's in Mexico. So that was going to be impossible from the get-go. I was kind of concerned whenever I showed up to the studio. Thought I was going to be working with Kevin Hagelin today, and I see Blake Elliott sitting here. So
when you didn't even know?
I found out about 7:30 this morning.
What happened to Kevin?
He's got bronchitis, doesn't have a voice.
Ain't nobody got time for that.
So ain't nobody got time for that, no. But
this show, KMC, they do the most last-minute call-outs of anyone.
It's ridiculous.
Right?
I didn't have a voice like 2 days in the last couple weeks, and I still showed up, powered through.
We're all better for
respect.
It.
Yeah.
Currently under the weather, but pushing
you?
Through. Yes, sir.
What's wrong with you?
I don't know. Just a little bit of viral infection. Just a little.
Are you on the meds? What are you working with?
Ibuprofen this morning.
Acetone.
Yeah, acetone is. It's definitely wouldn't be that. I was gonna suggest, well, like, how do you know it's not a virus? It could just be allergies. But then I remembered Blake doesn't believe in allergies.
That is correct. So it definitely is.
You don't believe in allergies?
Yeah, he thinks peanut allergies are fake.
This is a running joke that I've had.
You know, you're born in the wrong generation. You belong in our generation.
Yeah, you belong in our.
Back in our day, there was no allergies. There were no peanuts. We're taking no Zyrtec,
gluten,
and now I take Zyrtec every single week.
I think the people that are like allergic to grass and air dust, it's a little
settle down. No.
A little, I don't know.
Soft?
A little soft.
So you happens? Don't start sneezing a ton during points of the year, like in the spring?
I mean, I'm sure there's different points where the weather changes, but it's not like I go around a certain environmental thing and I can't be.
Mountain cedar? You don't know anything about mountain cedar?
Is that a place?
It's not a place. Yeah,
just like Colorado, Denver. What's coming up on the program?
We open up with Texas getting bailed out and Oregon getting blown out. Kyle Yeomans, DallasCowboys.com at 1 o'clock. And the People segment, AM on the FM, 1120.
The People segment.
The People segment. Mm-hmm.
I like the way that's been named. Was it targeting, Blake?
It definitely was targeting. I wanted the Longhorns to win, but you got to call a spade a spade. I believe me and Alec were talking about a pre-show that probably Arizona State was going to move down the field. I mean, Scataboo was doing whatever he wanted in that second half, especially the fourth quarter. So I like a game to be called how it should, whether it doesn't matter which team you're rooting for.
Okay.
That was definitely targeting, and it would have made the game even more interesting, but yeah.
All right, targeting. So I need you both to tell me which rule violation made it targeting. Leaving the feet didn't seem to happen. Crouch and thrust, keep your jokes to yourself.
Hey, now.
Striking with the head lowered, or striking was one, and then lowering of the head. Which of those do you think caused it to be targeting?
It looked like the head was lowered to me. Like, I didn't see a launch, and that's what a lot of people were defending it for, was maybe 1 foot was off the ground, but it didn't even look because of a launch. It was just a step. But it did look like the lower of the head happened. I wouldn't say it was full-on crown to the crown, but it definitely looked like he lowered his head trying to create that kind of contact.
What do you think, Blake?
I would agree with Alec. And the part that stinks is for Taff. He was a hard hitter. He'd been showing it all season, especially in this game. And I thought that was going to be a target. I'm like, what are you doing? Bonehead play. The guy's defenseless, doesn't even see you coming. You can just tackle him at the ankles. You're going to get the same result as far as stopping him short of the sticks. And then you make a boneheaded play, in my opinion, hitting him in the head. Luckily, it didn't get called. But I think that was the wrong move. But yeah, I think he led with the crown and unfortunately made a contact with the crown of Arizona State. They didn't call it.
You're going to need to see this on the fan cam, but like if you're watching the replays over and over again, and I agree, if the only part that you can argue is the lowering of the head, but it was like to this degree.
Yeah, it was a lot of face masks.
It was at the very end of the play, and the head, it went down like this much. Not like this, not like this, definitely not like this,
right.
But it just to that level. I can see after replay why they didn't feel like it was enough of the head being lowered.
I can see why they didn't call it. It's also like situation, right? A minute to go. That's a call. Like if it was the second quarter, I think they absolutely call it targeting the second quarter. There, which would have given them a first down instead of a fourth and five.
The true crime in all this is revising the helmet to helmet. That's the big problem in all this. Like this is an outright helmet-to-helmet hit. It should have been Arizona State first down, but it doesn't seem like that is as clear in college. And then you have the controversy of throwing a teammate into the end zone. That was illegal.
Oh, the suplex, the belly-to-belly suplex?
77.
Yeah. That's illegal. That you can push.
That's why
you can't pull.
That's why I hate the tush push. Like, it's just, it's not football. The minute that someone is pushing you in the back, they should throw, rugby, they should throw a flag. They should just stop it. It's tug of war. That's what I think. And then yesterday, he got carried into the end zone.
Yeah, as impressive as I think it is, like, that's really fun to watch. It's really impressive, and hats off to 77, the guard, for making that happen. But, you know, it's, like you said, there's a clear rule written that says you can't do that. So I'll even give them that, too. As a chronic Texas hater, that should not have been a touchdown. But again, kind of like Choppy said, situational, it's a playoff game. Do you think they're really going to go X's and O's and that stuff? No, they want points to be scored, especially with the line being as big as it was and how competitive it ended up being at the end of the game. I feel like you got to let them play. And that's why I'm not like, the world isn't ending over that targeting call. Exactly
Arizona
what Chop
States
said.
Is.
Yeah, oh, it definitely is. And I understand why they're mad. But in that moment, if I'm standing there, if I'm the back judge, I'm probably not making that call either. You know, I'd say there's a 90 to 95% chance I'm saying it's a hard hit. No, you know, and I'm keeping the laundry in
pocket. It also, you get over, there's two different people. There's people on the field who didn't rule it that way, and then there's a replay official who also didn't view it that way.
Now, what about the other hit that Overshone and others are arguing, the longer pass downfield? Was that
100% targeting? Should have ejected the whole team based on that.
That was more launching, but it wasn't helmet to helmet. It was shoulder.
Yeah.
But it says head and neck area. It says head and neck area is the rule.
Yeah, but I think he was shoulder to me. If it's shoulder, you got to be able to lay level. You got to be able to put hard hits out there. I need Eric Turner's. I need some Eric Turner, my
Browns license. Reference?
Steve Atwood. Or Steve Atwater.
Atwater, yeah.
We don't have Eric Turner anymore.
I know. He's with my dad.
Damn.
Condolences, by the way. My dad texted me and said to tell you that.
Oh, thank you. Yeah. Thank you, Mr. Meddy.
Yeah, he's a big tolo.
Mr. Meddy. All right, Sugar Bowl is going to be played today because of the tragedy in New Orleans. The other thing we didn't talk about was the freaking Tesla Cybertruck exploding in front of Trump Tower.
Yeah.
They have that person who did it?
They found the guy who did that one. He's from Colorado Springs.
Did they find him?
They think.
Was he, like, he wasn't there, right? He just detonated it?
He was in the car.
He was in the car.
He was in the car.
Yeah, so his name is
Matthew Livelsberger, a 37-year-old from Colorado Springs. He was also like the guy in New Orleans. He was also a former military veteran.
They worked at the same military base.
Did they?
Mm-hmm. What?
They knew each other?
Yeah. Now that part, I don't.
We don't know if they actually knew each other, but
they worked at the same.
Yeah,
base.
The last update I saw was same base.
They're about 10 years apart in age, right? Like, yeah, eight to 10 years apart in age.
Yeah. Have they found out if, like, he was a Trump hater or something? Do we know motive? Anything background wise?
According to this dude on Twitter, who is a.
According to this dude on Twitter,
he's got a check mark. He's got a microphone in front of him. It says on scene covering stories mainstream media won't.
Oh God!
He says he was still an active duty Green Beret sergeant who was on leave from Germany, where he was with the 10th SFG per multiple
San Francisco
US
Giants.
We're gonna be. It's just nuts. You can be on Bourbon Street at 2 a.m. We're gonna be in New Orleans very soon. You could be walking in front of a hotel, and boom, just explosions, both, and cars running over you.
They both rented these EVs from Turo, which is that app where you can rent a car. You could rent somebody else. Mm. So you can rent your own car.
Right. Both were electric, too.
Huh?
Both were electric, the Ford and obviously the Cybertruck.
What are you trying to say?
Yeah.
I think you know who they voted for.
I don't know if you saw the Cybertruck video. It wasn't just like an explosion.
The New Orleans car was an electric car?
It was a Ford Lightning.
That is not the first Cybertruck to explode, though, by the way. They've had a couple of those.
But this one was like...
I know that's different. I'm just saying.
A battery.
I hear Cybertruck explodes.
The battery exploding.
I hear Cybertruck explodes. It's not, I do have to ask, like, all right, well, that's different than if a Camry explodes. Like, that tells me something.
It was like fireworks, though. I don't know if you saw the CCTV.
Dude, the video looked so crazy. Yeah, I almost didn't think it was real. I thought it was like an AI video, somebody just trying to get it out there and get some money because they have a blue check mark and get the retweets. But no, it looks like something out of a movie. It's incredible.
Did anyone else die from the Tesla explosion?
No. Right.
I think seven injured something.
Yeah. Just that person. Mm-hmm.
Just the driver.
Choppy, are you a big fan of Blake Swag coming in here today?
Man, I mean, he's the overly baggy sweats I could do without.
He looks like Chiafalo from the waist down.
I love the Crocs and socks. You got to have Crocs. If you're going to wear Crocs, you got to have socks.
Yes.
You can't go Crocs barefoot. It's just too sticky.
Wait, did you say Eric would love that?
No, just keep going.
How do you know what Blake's working with?
He's pulled a Deion.
Lyndon Blake Johnson.
He's pulled a Deion. Because
explain that reference real quick. I've made it twice. Right,
yeah, there's this post that's been going viral this week. Everybody has learned that LBJ, Lyndon Johnson, who's 635 is named for, he apparently used to refer to his yeah. manliness Johnson. As Jumbo. That's yeah, what he called
I've,
it.
I've heard he's had.
And there's one story that there was a dispute in the White House over some bill, and he sent everybody out of the room except one. The person said, "How can you do that?" And he sent everybody out except that one person, and then he pulled it out, put it on the table, and said, "That's how."
Oh, very. He could play running back for some people.
Yes. Hey, jumbo package.
Yeah, absolutely. But well done, Alec. Blake brought his Deion, his Louis.
Mm.
I didn't realize that he brought. We all have a backpack that we bring in,
and that thing. That thing looks expensive.
And here comes Blake with his little...
That's not little.
Weekender bag.
The bag.
The Weekender bag. And yeah. it's...
Hold just it up for the fan cam, Blake. Yeah. Don't be shy. Show
don't
us
be shy.
It's that camera behind Chop.
Where's the strap?
It's at home. It's under construction.
All right. Mm. Is that not a good look to wear the strap?
I know. I used to wear the strap back in when I was at...
I wear the strap.
We know.
You
know
what I mean? In college, but...
damn right.
I just do the two hands right here. Mm. Just on the... Mm. Like a little... Laptop
do you ever
bag?
Carry it? Do you ever do like, let me sit.
Okay.
Do you ever?
Around the wrist?
Yeah. Do you ever do one of these and just like
walk just like this? Maybe if I'm in a rush.
Walk into the department store.
All right, guys, this was a more enjoyable crosstalk than we've had in this time slot in the past few weeks. Well done.
Thanks,
well
man.
Done. What'd you say?
Nobody to screw it up.
That's right. All right. Blake and Alec next. We're back with Mike McCarthy tomorrow and a recap of the Sugar Bowl. Enjoy the rest of your Thursday. KMC right here on The Fan.